You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
92.9 ESPN. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you better run. Yeah, I predict the earthquake.
Wednesday.
Ladies and gentlemen,
got a busy show today.
Let's see. John Martin, Sneak Hater, is going to be on with us in the next segment. Then Chris Harrington, straight up at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to him about the NBA playoffs, play-in, playoffs, all of that. And then Sam Hardiman. And I'm excited about all of these guys because John Martin wrote a column yesterday that generated a fair amount of blowback. He is, Jeffrey, somewhat skeptical of Penny's current recruiting approach, suggesting that the best players on awful or some of the best players on terrible AAC teams is not the way to put together a Sweet 16 team, may not be the way to put together a Sweet 16 team. And for that, Cameron Whalum on Twitter called him a sneak hater.
Okay.
And after the show, he reached out to me, said, man, it is tough dealing with all these Memphis fans who are so angry. And I'll say a couple things. One is, John is not a hater in the sense of he cares deeply about that program. Here's the truth. Of all the shows on this station, I think Jason and John talk about the Memphis Tigers the most. You and Mark do a fair bit too, and you have months on to talk about them or whatever else.
No, but I think it's a 3-hour show.
Yeah,
I think that's
and
fair.
And they both like that's the team of their youth for both of them.
Well,
like,
they both have covered them extensively.
Covered them extensively. And they both, and so it is an interesting dilemma. Like, how can you express skepticism? If that's what you honestly believe, that I'm not sure how this is going. Like other people are saying, man, Penny's killing it again on the recruiting trail, right? But if you don't believe that, so I do get the dilemma there. And I'll tell you this. I have learned something over my time in you would hope so, but covering sports. Because when I came into Memphis, one of the first columns I wrote, I ripped Fred Smith. I what was I thinking? I ripped Fred Smith for, at that point, he was holding on to the lease to the Liberty Bowl for whatever reason. Like he had it because the Mad Dogs or something had been playing. I don't know who was playing, whatever. And I ripped him for not giving up the lease. It was a ridiculous column.
I think you're right. It was the CFL team, which I believe was the Mad Dogs.
It was a ridiculous column. But it was also, like, I thought, you know, you got to be a tough, hard-edged columnist willing to take on anybody, you know?
I will say, that sets the tone.
And it was ridiculous. It was probably ill-informed. But here's the other thing I have learned. And this is from my experience as a sports fan. As a Buffalo sports fan, when I read or listen to commentators, and mind you, my beloved Buffalo Sabres have missed the playoffs for 13 straight years, and that is hard to do. The NHL, half the teams make the playoffs. And so to miss for 13 straight years is not an easy thing to do. Expansion teams have been invented and won the Stanley Cup since the Sabres have last been in the playoffs. But
in
still,
fairness, if the Sabres would have been an expansion team with the rules that the Knights had, they might have been better.
But if someone even on message boards, if people are unrelentingly negative, or if a columnist is unrelentingly negative, I just don't want to hear it. Like, I'll hear valid criticisms, you know, from at the moment, but just like hating on everything I don't think that's what John's doing. But what's interesting is my general view is that fans want to like their teams, want to feel good about their teams. And so I have learned that you're negative or critical when it is called upon. You have to be, right? But barring that, like, for example, taking pictures of FedEx Forum when it's half filled before a game tips off.
Sure.
And putting it on social media.
Listen, it's more of a football move, but continue.
It just makes people feel bad. And it doesn't really, like, if it is striking, if it is the single emptiest that it's ever been, you know, then that's one thing. But just drip, 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 hey, this sucks. I don't think people want to hear it. And so it doesn't mean that you're a homer. It doesn't mean that you should think everything's great. But I do think it's a fine line. I think it's easier. You sort of think in the media that you're supposed to be critical and tough. And the truth of the matter is people want to celebrate their teams, right?
Yeah, there's also, because you've written for longer than I have, so see if you buy this theory. If you take a strong stance one way or the other, there's going to be people that disagree.
Yeah.
And even maybe fans. Like, I'm saying, right. So for instance, let's say John would have written the inverse column.
Yeah.
Things are great, amazing.
Look at this, Penny's back at it, building a sweet 16 team.
There would still be people that are fans of the Tigers that would point out, well, actually, that's a CUSA All-Star team.
Right.
But for whatever reason, when you take the positive side or the positive stance, it feels like it's way easier to dismiss the criticism than when you take the negative side.
Right. Than being called a hater.
It feels like when you go out on the limb when you go out on the limb on the negative viewpoint, it almost like ratchets it up for you, and like you have this heightened.
I mean, John was literally the person who was calling out the names of top 25 voters who did not have Memphis ranked individually this year. Like the idea that he is, you know, a hater is preposterous. He's skeptical, and you know, we'll talk to John about that. Okay, so that's one. Then Chris Harrington has his he posted a. playoff preview, which I would urge people to read over at the Daily Memphian. I don't think I've tweeted it out yet, but I will. And among other things...
There you go, you procrastinator.
In addition to looking at what happened last night, and we'll talk about that in a minute, he wrote about how we should view all these stuff from the perspective of Grizzlies fans, both in terms of our pettiness, but also in terms of what players are out there who are former Grizzlies, who we might be rooting for or against or whatever, and then also how maybe, depending on how the playoffs go, how some players might shake loose from these teams in the offseason, right?
If
it goes a certain way,
absolutely,
teams are more inclined to blow things up. And when things get blown up, there are pieces flying around that you can grab. And so we'll talk to Chris about that.
We're also about to see how seriously all teams take the tax.
Yeah, we'll see that too. And then Sam Hardiman joins us. And he's great. Nice to be able to mention about the city. It's been a hard week in the city for all kinds of reasons. It was less than a week ago that a police officer was shot and killed. And then yesterday there was a teenager behind Douglas Community Center who was shot and killed. And then I tried to drive downtown yesterday, not long after the show, immediately after the show. And the road was still closed because there was a shooting, a freaking deadly shooting on 240. So that was it's been a hell of a week from that perspective. And then it so happened that the mayor was giving his 100 days address yesterday at Mount Vernon Church. And so I went. And it's interesting because I saw some people saying he should have postponed it. It was disrespectful in the wake of all this tragedy. And I guess you just had to hear. The speech was 80% about how we respond to these tragedies, how we make sure they don't happen again. It wasn't some celebration of 100 days. It was, we are facing significant problems as a city, most of which relate to crime and violence. And what are we going to do about it? It wasn't disrespectful. It was in many ways responsive to what we have endured this past week and indeed these past couple of years. And it began, you know, right off the top with a moment of silence for the police officer and for all police officers who run towards trouble when the rest of us would, let's be honest, run away. And so he was solemn. He was serious. He was, and then he said a couple things that really struck me. And one of them I wrote a column about. One, the news was he's going to be asking for a property tax increase, which is not a popular thing for a politician to do, right? But it has been, like, in Jim Strickland's 8 years, there was never a property tax increase. It's not like there's been some property tax increase. I'm not weighing in on the property tax increase one way or another at this point. I haven't studied enough to know whether I support it or not. I will tell you, we haven't had a property and tax increase for a while. But then the second thing he said was, which was really striking and which is what I wrote about, he asked Memphians not to leave. And that's a hell of a thing for a mayor to say, because over in Nashville, you can be sure they're not, hey, begging people not to leave, right? You know what I mean? Like, it speaks to...
if anything, maybe intrinsically, they're implying.
Right. You might slow down. Uh-huh. Stay in California, wherever it is you're coming from. So, the fact that he says that is symbolic of a representative of where we are as a city, that he felt the need to say that, right? It's also, in the end, not really how people choose their city. It's just like if you tell people we need you to buy season tickets for Memphis football or for Memphis basketball, we really need you. That's not what really inspires people to buy tickets for Memphis football or Memphis basketball. What inspires them is winning, right? It being fun. And it's the same thing in a larger sense for the city. What inspires you to want to live in a city is that it is robust, lively, affordable, clean, safe, whatever place to live. And so I'm not sure how effective it is to ask people not to leave. What? Did I hear what?
You heard the comments more than I did. I interpreted it not necessarily like, go to another place. I literally interpreted it as stay inside the city limits. Like, don't move to suburbia.
No, I don't think he meant that. I think he meant all of that. I think he meant all of it. Just don't leave. I think he meant all of it. I really think it meant, he's aware that people are, picking up and leaving Memphis.
Finding new places to live, yeah.
And it may be, I talked to a school recently. I toured a school recently, and they said that this was a private school, and I was visiting for some reason. I'll talk about it later another time. But they said they've lost a lot of families this year to Texas.
Yeah.
A lot of families have moved, and they've all moved to Texas. And I think there is some of that happening. I don't know what we'll get the exact numbers on whether Memphis is shrinking or whatever at some point. But anyway, it was a striking thing for him to say. I happen to agree with his fundamental point. It's one that resonates with me, that of course you see the struggles of the city. I see the struggles of the city. How can you miss it, right? But his point is that Nashville doesn't need you. Atlanta doesn't need you. Chicago doesn't need you. That Memphis needs you. And again, that might not, I don't care. Some people might say, I don't care if Memphis needs me or not. I need peace and quiet, right? I think that will be, but honestly, he went on to talk, in some ways, the fact that you are needed here is also an opportunity to make an impact here. And in the end, I think, I'll just tell you this. When I lived in Washington, D.C., big glamorous city, right? Big glamorous city, a lot of great restaurants, fancy people, whatever else. I felt completely irrelevant.
Sure.
I felt completely fungible. There were 10,000, 100,000 lawyers just like me. I didn't matter. And I feel very different in Memphis. And I don't think that's because I'm on the radio. I think you feel like that if you own the Majestic Grill, or a lot of things that you could be doing out there in Memphis. I there's a running group in my Sea Isle neighborhood. I think it's meaningful. I just think creating the people who invest themselves in the city and create community in the city and roll up their sleeves and contribute to the city, I think there's a real opportunity to feel like you're making some small difference in some small way. And I think that, again, it doesn't matter as much as feeling safe when you're pumping gas, but I don't think it's meaningless. And basically that's what, he's an interesting politician because he's asking very clearly for sacrifice, both property taxes, and again, I'm not weighing in on that, going up, and stay here and be part of the solution. He's not trying to tell you everything's great because no one would buy it, right?
Yeah, I mean, that sets yourself up for just an easy...
But he's also not just pointing the fingers at someone else. It's where he's at the start of his administration, too. Like, he's still hoping to change this. He said, by the way, they're committing to reducing crime 10% this year and then 10% every year, another 10% each year of their administration. And that's interesting because it's measurable. You either hit that mark or you don't. Now, there's lots of different crime marks. There's violent crime. There's car crime. There's which go down by 10%. He said all of them. He wants all of them to go down by at least 10% this year and then 10% from every year thereafter. Anyway, I was there. I wrote a column about it. Sam Hardiman was there as well. We'll talk to Sam about that. So that is a long way of setting the lineup with John Martin, then Chris Harrington, and them, then Sam Hardiman. We do had two interesting games last night, each enjoyable in their own way, Jeffrey, I thought. Really good game between the Lakers and the Pelicans that ended. I felt bad for the Pelicans.
Oh, I did.
And I know we've been, ever since they got Zion and we got Ja, they won the lottery and we didn't, whatever else. But it's been a rough road for Zion, largely of his own creation, in different ways than Ja's of his own creation. And this is the best game he has ever played on the most meaningful stage. He's got 40 points And then with 3:13,
and his team, the other thing is like his team needed him. Like it wasn't just he's having a great night. It was like they were down 20 because no one else could do anything.
And then the other, like everyone who was supposed to be doing, C.J. Collum was bad. Brandon Ingram, they wasn't even on the floor at the end. Valanciunas wasn't on the floor. And so you've got Zion doing everything, and he goes out with 3:13 to go, and boom, that's it. Lakers win.
Yeah. It just kind of felt like a microcosm of where they are.
I thought the injury was just weird, though.
So
he stomped off. He didn't, like, he didn't do the jog, go down, hauled off, whatever. He literally walked off.
Yeah, to me it implied he heard something pop.
Right.
Like, I think they reported afterwards hamstring.
And right now it's leg soreness and he's going to be imaged.
Yeah, to me it implied.
Imaging today.
It implied something popped.
So that was rough. And the truth of the matter is, knowing what else happened, I guess that's not true. Lakers very clearly wanted to win that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
Lakers did want to win that game, and now they will advance to play Denver.
I mean, the reality is, like,
that'll be fun.
The fact that Zion goes out, it felt like it deprived you from, like, watching an awesome, awesome finish. But I did feel like watching the course of the entire game, the better team won.
That is true. That is true. It was a heroic effort to get back to tie,
correct.
But the Lakers were the better team over the course of the game. And now you've got the Pelicans, maybe without Zion, we will see, playing Sacramento. What it does, honestly, is it gives Sacramento an easy road if there's no Zion, and that would therefore then give Oklahoma City an easier road. Like they don't have to tangle with the Lakers or Steph
the Thunder, your big fear was in our first playoff series with this core, you didn't want to go up against the experienced team that could, take advantage of an inexperienced playoff team. And so now if you wind up getting either team, neither team has a ton of playoff experience. I mean, the Kings
and the Sacramento's diminished.
For sure. I think the biggest winners last night, in my opinion, was the Thunder.
So Sacramento wins convincingly, 118-94. Keegan Murray, 8 threes. That was impressive. 32 points, 9 rebounds for him. Steph was fine, but not incandescent. And Clay was awful. 0 for 10, 0 from 6 from 3. All the Kings starters were plus 20 or better. And so now you've got, but that was fun because it's nice to watch Golden State lose, So like
100%, because once the game started, because the Warriors make the push at the end of the half and you're thinking, oh man, the Kings might be in trouble here because felt like they had dominated for much of the game and they're only up 4 at the half. But then when you watch the Kings come out after the break and you realize, man, Golden State just doesn't have enough. I'm thinking blowout, and at first my thought was, all right, maybe I can go to bed. And then I had a revelation. Nah, I'm going to stick around. I want to see.
Enjoy this.
Not only do I need to see them die, but also I want to see them react when they're dying.
Yes.
And it was awesome.
So that's
I regret nothing. I'm tired this morning. I regret nothing.
That's a beautiful thing. And so now the question is, the question that is sort of dominating a lot of sports discussion today is it over for Golden State? And the answer to that is yes, in terms of this team with Steph and Draymond and Clay is not going to win another title. I feel fairly safe in saying that, don't you?
I've been here since they won the title.
Right.
Remember, I thought that was
Tigers
and Masters.
So, but then you hear a lot of, you got to blow it up, right?
Sure.
I don't even know what that looks like. Like, you're not getting rid of Steph. Like, why would you want to get rid of Steph? Steph is fun to watch play basketball.
I mean, like, you're only getting rid of Steph if Steph says get rid of me.
Yeah, so you're not getting rid of Steph.
Yeah.
So you're keeping Steph, and you've already got Steve Kerr signed on for another couple of years.
What a great value that is.
And so you're going to have Steph, and you're going to have Draymond, who you already extended. And so they're not going to win a title. But you'll be able to watch Steph play. You know what I mean? You'll be able to watch it. To me, it's very much, it's a A-plus level of what the Grizzlies did once upon a time.
Sure.
Right? Like, because they won four titles. The Grizzlies didn't win any titles. But at the end of the Grizzlies thing, let's be honest, even in the midst of the Grizzlies thing, you didn't really think they were going to win a title. But then there became a time when it's like, they're over the hill, right? Their best days are behind them, but it's still Mark and Mike and Zeebo and whatever else. And then finally, you do ultimately break it up, right? But there was a time in there where it's like, you know, no, we're not winning. Their best days are behind them, but what are you going to do? Like, what is so great about being where Portland is right now, right? What is so great about being where the Wizards are right now? Wouldn't you rather, in fact, watch Steph and Draymond and Clay, if you bring him back? I mean, it is now Golden State has committed to getting under the tax, to get out of the tax, and that's not just because they've spent enough.
I think they're committed
to
getting under the second.
I even think they want to get out completely.
Okay,
but it's because it also limits what you can do. Right. There are rules now about what you can and can't do depending where you are.
Well, and it's another thing to be in the tax if you're going for championships, and this team is
right,
clearly not going for championships.
So all they have to do is just let Chris Paul walk. Now, if they were trying to win, they would try to use that contract in some constructive way to get other players. But all they have to do is just let him walk. And then you tell Clay, sure, you want another massive contract. You're not getting one. We'll give you $18 million a year or whatever, $20 million a year or whatever it is. We'll give you some reduced amount. And then you bring those dudes back and you've got the young players that you have. They've got three or four good young players. You got Andrew Wiggins still there. And they were, after the All-Star break, 19-10. They were pretty good. Here's the truth. Draymond Green screwed them this year because during his absence, they were terrible. Had they played at the percentage and they won at the percentage that they won when Draymond was in the lineup, they would not have been in the play-in. They would not have been in the play-in. They would have been in the playoffs. You know what happened last year in the playoffs? They played Sacramento in the first round. You know what happened? They lost the first game. They lose the first game. It just so happens they came back and won the series.
Sure.
This year, they lose the first game to Sacramento, and they're out. I don't know what the ultimate... What, you blow it up for what?
Well,
to do what?
I think there's two points I would make. Number one, I mean, I'm with you on the Draymond aspect, but there's also a certain question of, like, well, whose fault is that?
It's his fault.
It's not
the Warriors' fault. Yes,
right.
It's also their fault.
Correct.
What is the alternative?
So the only other question, though, that I would have is... Does just being semi-competitive, like, I don't even know how we define it. They finished 10th. I get what you're saying with Draymond, but, like, to me, like, you watch them play, and you're just like, they're fine, but they're not going anywhere. So the big question, though, that I have is that going to be enough to fill that building? Because so much
I think so, as long as Steph is there.
I mean, that's a pretty fair weather.
Semi-competitive, going 19-10, they won more games this year than they won last year.
They did.
And that was the West is different, and that was without Steph. I think you count on Kuminga getting better, Moody getting better, the rookie getting better, and you just, like, they're not going to win a title. But you want to be in the desert? You know who else is not going to win a title? The Lakers, right? Lakers,
right.
Semi-competitive. You watch LeBron, you watch AD. That's good enough. It's just good enough. Like, it's good enough when there is no real alternative. What are you going to do, trade LeBron?
No, I mean, my deal is I also think this exercise is somewhat academic because literally, unless Steph Curry says trade me.
Right, but you could trade around him. You could try to get rid of, you could try to trade everything else. But I don't see how that's the path to the title. Maybe it is. I don't see that where the path to beating Denver lies. I don't know what the path to beating Denver is. I don't think there is one.
I mean, probably the path to beating Denver is somehow getting lucky. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? You wind up getting a player in a draft that...
And they don't even have the draft pick.
Right.
So I do, like, I am reveling in the end of the Golden State Warriors, but I don't think as a group, and Clay's going to have to just suck it up and take less money.
Or go somewhere else.
And it's possible he could do that. Like, it's possible he could say...
Well, if he's willing to go to, like, a bad team that has to get to the...
He could go to Oklahoma City, or he could go to... Like, there are teams that have money.
Philly, but I don't know if that makes a ton of sense. But you go to a team that has to spend money, and... Right.
But I bet he would rather... He didn't want to move. He wants to hang out there with his buddies.
I have no idea. You know what I mean?
I guess
I think if you're making me bet, I would bet you're correct. But at the same time, it's like, you know, some guys might go, this is the last big payday I'm going to go get, even though, you know, you're going to go wind up being miserable into some bad team and probably not being all that effective there.
There was a new NBA mock draft is out. And this one from Jonathan Givony over at ESPN. Has Donovan Klingon gone? And again, this is... based on the current draft order, which will not be the draft order.
Right.
It's the odds going in where you are. So the Grizzlies, because the Grizzlies are seventh from the bottom now, it has the Grizzlies drafting 7.
Right.
But they could draft 8. They could draft 9. They could draft 1, 2, 3,
it's
or 4.
It's based on where they finished.
It's based on where they finish. In this mock draft, Portland takes Donovan Klingon at number 3. And so then the Grizzlies take Reed Shepard at number 7. Stephon Castle goes number 8. Now, Reed Shepard has not actually committed. Obviously, Jeff Shepard, teammate of Mark Pope's, and so there's noise about whether Reed Shepard might actually consider returning. That would be a hell of a thing, wouldn't it? Amazing. If you have a chance to be a top 10 draft pick and your relationship with your father and Mark Pope. It's good for Kentucky if they can make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's a question of, like, what's Reed Shepard's motivation? If it is being an NBA player, I do not understand. I think it's highly unlikely your stock is never better than it is now.
But you know what? Peyton Manning came back when he didn't have to. D'Angelo Williams came back when he didn't have to. Like, some players actually like being college players.
Right.
You know?
I would argue, though, the NFL is very different than the NBA because in the NBA, somehow your age weirdly works against you.
Well, it's also a much better draft next year. And he is not because of his physical limitations, he's not just a slam dunk lottery pick.
Absolutely.
He's a lottery pick based on his performance this year, which was extraordinary, except for in the NCAA tournament, right?
Well, and it's also important to point out, you're likely to make basically the same money if you're the 3 this year versus the 3 next year, but there's a big difference between being 3 this year and
14 or 17 or whatever else.
Heck, what if he's even, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think it makes sense for him to come out. And I think both of those picks, Reed Shepard or Stephon Castle, for different reasons. As we've pointed out, the Grizzlies are not going to draft a player unless it's Donovan Klingon who is going to slot into their 18 minutes a game, you know, big man slot.
Sure.
Right? I don't think the player they pick in the lottery, it shows where this team is right now and also the nature of this draft. It's two things. Where this team is right now and the nature of this draft. People are wondering how much G.G. Jackson is going to play, right? Yeah. I don't think this lottery pick is going to play that much. It could play some.
Right.
But Donovan Klingon might play more minutes than any other lottery pick. And so you're picking a guy who, maybe if they walk away from Luke Kennard,
sure,
and you want a shooter, I don't hate either of those options, Reed Shepard or Stephon Castle. Now, Stephon Castle is different because he can't shoot, but he's much more physically gifted. He's a hell of a defender. He can see the floor. Was terrific in the NCAA tournament.
If you don't look at his shooting numbers.
If you don't look at his shooting numbers. Do you have a preference there?
I actually think I would rather bet on Castle simply because he does have a skill set that I know works at the highest level. Like, he's longer, more athletic. I know he is an elite defender. The thing with Reed Shepard is, like, even if Castle doesn't become an elite shooter, you can still envision role for him in the NBA.
Right.
The problem with, like, a guy like Reed Shepard is, well,
he is going to be an elite shooter. That's a
role. I mean, maybe, but we also saw, like, Jimmer Fredette was an elite shooter. Like, at a certain point, like, if you can't do the other stuff, And I'm not saying that he can't, but if you're asking me to bet on one or the other.
You bet on you.
Correct.
Did you have a, we lost at least our news yesterday about two people who have died. Steve Sloan, former Ole Miss coach. And
amongst others.
Amongst others. And Whitey Herzog.
Yes.
Were you a fan during the Whitey Herzog era? Not really.
No, I think Whitey's the 80s, isn't he?
Yeah, so you wouldn't have known Whitey.
My first real recollection of Cardinal baseball's La Russa, the La Russa era.
Really?
Like, that's like the like when I can remember.
Do you hold him in great esteem as a great Cardinal? Like, he truly, like, that was, the truth of the matter is, when I think of the Cardinals,
yeah,
I think of those Cardinals.
Yeah, I hold him more in.
Stealing bases, running, you know what I mean?
Whitey ball.
Yeah, Whitey ball.
I hold him more in the esteem of, like, great baseball guy. You know what I mean? Like, successful player and manager and, you know, gives the Cardinals a heck of a run, but emotionally, like, I don't have the support. With Steve Sloan, the thing that's more interesting about Steve Sloan is the Steve Sloan coaching tree. Steve Sloan gave us Bill Parcells.
He gave us Bill Parcells.
From yeah.
What was the Bill Parcells connection?
So when Sloan, I believe, was at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
He had Parcells. And then when I think he went from Tech to Ole Miss, Parcells was supposed to go him, and then he ends up getting an NFL gig. But, like, he's the guy that – I think Parcells was at the Air Force Academy, if I'm doing my history correct. He was at the Air Force Academy kind of, you know, doing not a whole lot.
So is there a tree, or is it just, like, this one giant branch?
Like, you look at, like
– Bill Parcells.
No, that he – the Steve Sloan coaching tree is more impressive than Steve Sloan's record. Like, he had, like, Parcells,
right.
Romeo Crennel. Like, a lot of the guys that you kind of associate with the Parcells tree, they all actually, like, originated with Steve Sloan.
If you're selling your house, I would call Josh Hysaw from and his team at Keller Williams Realty. Phone number is 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. And I love the fact that the website to go to now is joshhasthebuyers.com. If you're selling a house, you know what you want? Buyers. That's what you want. You want buy-stars. I mean buyers. I mean you also want, like, 300 five-star Google reviews suggest that people like the way you do your business. You want offers, though. You want offers. And Josh Hysaw, when I met with him, I hadn't ever met Josh Hysaw. Met with him at the conference room here. And he just makes an immediate impression. Like, this dude is going to sell your house. He knows the market. He's aggressive about marketing your house. He's not going to guarantee you're going to get multiple offers the first day, but I've talked to a lot of people and for which that has happened. He offers flexible fees, no upfront cost. He'll let you out of your contract at any time. That's the kind of confidence he has. It's Josh Hysaw, 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers. .com. We've got a busy day. It's John Martin, then Chris Harrington, then Sam Hardiman. Jeff Calkins Show on a Wednesday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station. The Gabe Kuhn Show afternoons.
It's Gabe Kuhn from 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show. And 92.9 FM ESPN is a proud radio partner for the 2024 Memphis Touchdown Club Speaker Series benefiting Le Bonheur Children's Hospital. Starting with Paul Feinbaum, our guest speaker, on April 29th at the Hilton Memphis. Get your tickets now online at 92.9ESPN.com or go to MemphisTouchdownClub.com. The 2024 Memphis Touchdown Club Speaker Series for Le Bonheur with 92.9 FM ESPN.
I'm Bob Burke, founder and chairman of Burke America Parts Group, a family of brands that includes RepairClinic.com, an appliance and HVAC parts solution company that's grown into an international brand. Before AmericanEagle.com, we partially launched a new technology platform developed by another firm. American Eagle helped take our technology to a whole new level with digital marketing, software development, and business insights into our key markets, appliances, HVAC, and outdoor power equipment, and did so both on time and on budget. AmericanEagle.com has the resources, experience, and talent needed to produce solutions. Our new technology platform developed by AmericanEagle.com has produced tremendous results with higher traffic, conversion, engagement, and online revenue. If you have any home repairs you need to take care of, check us out at RepairClinic.com. If you need a world-class website or technology project, then I would highly recommend AmericanEagle.com.
Call AmericanEagle.com at 773-NETWORK. That's AmericanEagle.com, 773-NETWORK.
The NBA play-in tournament gives teams the chance to play their way into the postseason. So it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. You can bet anything from money line to point spreads to player props. Just go to FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K to get started. FanDuel is an official sports betting partner of the NBA and 92.9 ESPN. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit is required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire just 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, make sure to reach out to the Tennessee Red Line. That number is 1-800-889-9789.
Found the roof leak.
Where?
See those shingles?
Oh, what do we do now?
I pity the fool. You need the A-Team.
What?
A-Team Roofing in Collierville, one of only two diamond contractors in the Mid-South. They're a licensed general contractor, but also a licensed insurance adjuster. When it comes to insurance approval, the decision really is in the details.
Well, yeah.
Get your roof done right. Call the A-Team, 901-605-ROOF.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
You okay?
I'm A-OK.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
If you love your meals with a taste of exploration, check out the Latin Flavors event at Kroger. Embark on new culinary adventures with vibrant tastes and fresh possibilities. With Latin-themed inspiration and palate-pleasing recipes available in-store and online. It's the Kroger Latin Flavors event, now through May 7th. We hope to see you there.
And right now, Kroger brand 80% lean ground beef is on sale. 16-ounce packages are only $3.99 each with your card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Visit Frontier Western Store today for new shirts and boots. Frontier is your top Carhartt store in the Mid-South. There's thousands of in-stock shirts and jeans. They have the classic K87 pocket tee in every color they make, including new ones just released. Available small to 4X. Want new jeans? Frontier has you covered with super tough work denim by Carhartt. And you've got to check out their selection of Ariat jeans for men, women, and children. You'll love how easy it is to find the size and style you need. Have you seen Frontier's remodeled world-famous boot showroom? It continues to expand. New styles by Ariat just arrived, plus plenty of in-stock proven classics, too. Whether you need work or dress boots, trust that Frontier's the place to come. See thousands of pairs of Ariat boots and thousands more by Dan Post, Corral, Durango, Rocky, Twisted X, and others. And Frontier's pricing is lower than online and chain stores, so you know just the local shop to visit. Frontier Western Store, 5880 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and on the web at frontierwesternstore.com. Locally owned and operated since 1967.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Posters, flyers, signs, and menus for less? Think Staples. Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. Now at Staples, save $50 on your print purchase of $150 or more. Same-day service available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. And all backed by Staples' Print Perfect Guarantee. So it's done right, or it's printed again, free. Staples, your local print and marketing expert. N61, visit staples.com/print for details.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Gabby.
Hey, Gabby. It's Jennifer Coolidge. Hi. I'm so glad I reached you at 2 a.m.
Oh, of course. Anyone with a Discover card can call and talk to a real person 24/7. Now, how can I help?
Yeah, I used my Discover card to buy these yellow pleather pajamas, and I'm just not sure I'm pulling them off.
24/7 U.S.-based customer service. It pays to Discover. Limitations apply. Learn more at discover.com/credit card.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All on the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download it today.
Your window into affordable luxury is Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis.
At Pella, we offer quality replacement windows at any budget.
I can't believe the price of my new windows. They were so affordable.
If I knew I could afford windows and doors as gorgeous as these, I would have chosen Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis years ago.
Right now, save 25% on your entire project or get 50% off installation.
The highest quality, the greatest value.
Choose Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis, your window into affordable luxury.
I am a waitress, so I know the difference between regular shoes and Skechers slip-resistant work shoes. Skechers slip-resistant work shoes make my job go like this. Here's your pasta primavera.
Thanks.
While regular shoes make my job go like this. Here's your pasta primavera. Whoa! And that difference is why I wear Skechers slip-resistant work shoes to keep me safe on my feet. Plus, they're easy to clean and have Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam for comfort throughout my shift. Get America's number one selling work shoe at Skechers.com, a Skechers store near you, or wherever work shoes are sold.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
She nursed him there. Wasn't so sure she wanted him to stay. What to say, what to say. Soon she was down.
If you gamble, great. Lots of places to do it. FanDuel would be one. If you gamble too much, not great. And for about 5% of you, that's the reality. 5% of the people who gamble struggle with gambling, spend too much money, takes an emotional, financial toll. And for those folks, there is the Gambling Clinic over at the University of Memphis. Since 1999, helped hundreds and hundreds of people. They're not anti-gambling. They just understand that some people will struggle with it. And for those folks, give them a call. Get in contact with them over at thegamblingclinic.com. They'll set up 10 to 12 individual appointments with someone who's an expert in gambling addiction and help you lead a better life, honestly. That's the bottom line. Help you lead a better life. So if that applies to you or someone you love, thegamblingclinic.com. Join now by John Martin. John, every single day from 11 until 2. Now, John, yesterday, I saw that you were called a sneak hater. A sneak hater on Twitter because you wrote a column that was somewhat skeptical of Penny Hardaway's recruiting approach. Are you, in fact, a sneak hater?
I don't think so. I think I'm just a transparent truth teller.
Were you not? Here's my thing. When you in the fall, right? When you were saying that this was a Sweet 16 team, and when you were calling out individually,
I did not say that.
No, you didn't. When you were calling out individually, those who did not vote Memphis into the top 25, calling them out, shaming them. Was that all an elaborate camouflage so people wouldn't see the hater underneath? When you were...
I genuinely, this is just how I try to tell people about the work I do. I have no ego.
Ego? Okay, I don't buy that.
I have I have no ego when it comes to, like, I'm not so dug in on a stance that I can't I got that wrong. I was wrong. Like, if I am in 6 months, like, proven to be like, oh man, this class was like ended up being ranked fifth in the country, and Pitty, you know, pulled a rabbit out of his, you know, whatever. I will say I was wrong. I reacted.
Indeed, you would like that.
I would love that. I would love nothing more than to be wrong about this. But I was also accused of overreacting when Memphis lost to South Florida. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think I'm like an easy target for people because I do have such strong opinions. But, like, I'm usually right. Like, there's no value, right? And this is what I truly believe. There's no value. Like, what if Paul Revere said the British are here? As opposed to the British are coming.
Right? Maybe if he'd said, the British, they've landed, but I don't think they're coming. I think they're probably...
We don't know what their intentions are.
We don't really know what their intentions are. We think the British might actually be...
They're the British.
They might just stop and have tea and turn around and go home, you know?
Right. Right, like, oh, everything's going to be fine, right?
Everything's going to be fine.
Listen,
we've got, have you seen our muskets? We've got great muskets,
right.
Man. They're
possibly.
Not. Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's any value in someone who can look at a house that's on fire and that's engulfed in flames and say, hey, that house is on fire. Obviously, it's on fire. Everybody can see that it's on fire. But where the value is, oh man, that house has some smoke coming out of it, like out of the windows there. Like, is that house on fire? That's what I bring. I see things as before they unfold. I don't wait until they actually happen. And I think that is why, you know, people sort of accuse me of being a hater because I see things they're not either willing to or can't. And so I think that's when it comes to this piece in particular that you're referring to, I think that's kind of what we're dealing with.
It was interesting, if you go back to the Tigers season and that South Florida loss. Now, I do mean, what I meant by when I was talking about how exuberant you were about the team early on, you did believe in this team, and you were calling out people.
In fairness, they did make a breakthrough. They got in the top 10.
No, what I mean is that you are as willing to be delighted by this team as you are depressed about this team. That's all I meant.
Was probably not the case with Tubby Smith,
right?
But it absolutely is with Penny, for sure.
The South Florida thing was interesting because really Penny laid it all out there. Like, that's the game that I covered just because it was a storm. And then Penny comes in afterwards and says, this team is a disaster, basically. It's a toxic mess. And everyone didn't believe him, you know? Like, it was like, he's being overdramatic, you know? He's Penny being Penny. And he was telling the truth. He was 100% telling the truth there.
And that was really, it was more so like, that was why I reacted, I think, so viscerally to it. Because I was like, wait a minute. Like, that's not.
Okay. Like, well, let's get to this now.
Or 15 and 3.
Like, let's get to this now. What don't you like about, and first of all, on a scale of like 1 to 10, 10 being this is the best, this team is they're putting together a juggernaut. And one being, this is a flaming disaster of a recruiting class. This is the worst Tubby recruiting class. This is the worst Tick Price recruiting class. This is just a flaming disaster of a recruiting class. Where do you think it is right now?
It's probably a 5.
Okay, you don't hate it.
I don't hate it, but I don't really like it.
And what is it you don't like about it?
Well, what I don't like about it is that the best player in it right now is 33rd at ESPN in terms of the transfer portal rankings. I mean, that's what I don't like about it. And by the way, everybody that's going to be in the transfer portal is not yet in the transfer portal. So PJ Haggerty is their best player in it. So, you know, people can – hold on just a second. I think somebody might be at my door. Hey, my door. Oh, Jackie. Sorry.
They're coming again.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff going on. Anyway, It's everybody that's in the portal is not quite in the portal yet. So, you know, it's not just that most of these players are from the AAC. It's that they're not even considered good from a national perspective. It doesn't really impress me that PJ Haggerty averaged 21 points a game. It doesn't really impress me that he won Freshman of the Year in the AAC. I mean, nobody plays freshman anymore. Like, if you're a freshman that gets real minutes, like, you're probably Freshman of the Year. Congratulations. That doesn't impress me. PJ Haggerty was the best player on Tulsa last year, and they won 16 games. He going to come here and be the best player? And we expect more than 16 games? Based on the players that are coming in, the talent is not going to be that much different than what he had on the Tulsa roster last year. So that's where I'm just very skeptical. I'm very skeptical about, like, again, not done. So maybe Penny will shock us all. But in terms of the start, like, if you told me going into next year, right?
Yeah.
PJ Haggerty is the best player on the team, I'm out.
You obviously don't believe David Jones is coming back?
I would just be shocked. Yeah, I would be shocked. I hope I'm wrong on that, but nothing I've heard up to this point suggests that he is coming back. And even if he is coming back, you're not going to know until months down the road, right? I mean, it's just. So I don't think they're recruiting as though they're going to have him, and I don't think they should. So if David Jones is in the fold, you know, my opinion would change because then David Jones would be the best player on the team, right? That's the way it would work. But if it's PJ Haggerty, like, and I mean, you're sort of sell as well. You surrounded him with a bunch of shooters. Yeah, you surrounded him with some shooters that were from the AAC. I saw a guy that
they
came
have the they put the same the 3-point lines the same place in the AAC as it is everywhere else.
Right, but the players aren't as good. That's why they're in the AAC. I mean, it's just the truth. I mean, we could sit here and all, but like I don't want to hear it from Memphis fans who all year long complain about how bad the league is. Right, they complain about just how terrible it is, and their entire roster is going to be made up of pieces from it in 2024. I mean, come on now. Like, I see this a little bit.
Let me ask you this: if you think that this is not particularly impressive, and that look, something's going,
their best, their highest ranked transfer right now is 33 in the country, and everybody that's going to be in the portal is not yet in the portal.
And yeah, there's 2,000 people in the portal though. 33 isn't bad.
Not bad, but it's like he ain't going to finish 33.
Here's my question. If you think that something is going wrong here, right, what do you think is going wrong? What do you think is at the root of the problem? And do you think, in other words, do you think Penny shares your view? Like, do you think Penny is like, oh, man, this is a struggle, you know? Or do you think he's like, this is great, we're killing it? And if something is going wrong, what's going wrong? Why aren't they getting, you know, Kendrick? The Kendricks of the world.
I think Penny in a vacuum believes all the players that he recruited are good, and they very well may be. I think Penny sort of, his instinct is to sort of believe the best of people, right? Like, oh, I think Kobe Rogers is going to come in here and he's going to be exactly what he was at Wichita State. He's going to be even better. you know, Dane's going to average 6-3 in the Big Ten last year. He's going to come to the AAC and he's going to crush it, which could be true. You know, P.J. Haggerty is going to be he's going to do exactly what he did it at Tulsa, and you know, somehow or another, the team's going to be a winner. You know, that's what Penny's doing. Do I think Penny believes that he's crushing it? Do I believe he finds it to be a struggle? Yeah, I think he probably does. You know, I mean
this feels it does feel less ambitious than back when, whether he was recruiting high school kids or
Memphis in 2021 had a number two class in the country. It might have been one. In 2019, they had the number one class. You know, he got the AAC Player of the Year in 2022. Like, and that's different, right? That's different to me. You're talking about a different air when you're getting into Players of the Year in a league. You know, do you think
it's more reflective of, to the extent that things aren't going so well, if we're buying that premise?
Yeah, I mean,
Do you think it's more reflective of the league being diminished and so it's harder for him? His struggles and record of missing the tournament this past year and not necessarily working out with all the transfers getting in the way, or NIL, or some combination of the three?
NIL, I'm told, is not an issue. NIL, I'm told, is good.
Okay.
So that's not
so it's
an
not
issue.
Money.
I do think that it sort of Penny's underperformance is accumulating, right? I don't think that changes his ability to relate to players or land talented players, but I do think, like, just in terms of, you know, the top flight, you know, like you want to go to the tournament, you want to make a deep run. That's never happened in Penny's 7 years here. So I think that sort of starts to accumulate on you, and you kind of run out of, well, it was this, well, it was that, well, it was, you know, you just kind of, you know, you've got a 7 year sample size now, and it's starting to sort of go the other way. I think the league definitely is, like, the league is so bad. Like, the league is terrible. You cannot get people in the building for these games. You know, and there's no team that you're excited to play in this league. So I do. I think it's probably a combination of those things, but it's not NIL from what I hear. NIL is actually better than expected, again, from what I hear. So, you know, we'll see what the rest of the class holds.
What did you you like to wager on the NBA? How'd you do last night?
Oh, man. I got to tell you, it was an absolutely devastating night for me. Really, really wish that
I had taken
advice.
What'd you get wrong?
Both. Everything.
But what do you think it was at bottom of you being wrong? Like, if you thought the Pelicans, it sounds like you put money on the Pelicans and you put money on the Warriors. What did you?
Yes.
What was your fundamental mistake?
My fundamental mistake was believing in a meaningless-ish game that sort of kind of mattered, that LeBron wouldn't win. He's a king at that. He's a king of winning these sort of, like, games that don't exist, whether it's the play-in championship or the play-in or whatever the case may be. And, like, believing that Zion would be able to hold up over a full game, and believing that C.J. McCollum would show up. I mean, that dude hadn't showed up in the postseason since he was at freaking Lehigh. So that was a problem for me, right? Like, that was the fundamental issue with the Pelicans bet. Secondly, with the Warriors, that's just a leak for me. That's a leak. I just am very, very biased to Steph in that dynasty. And
you could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.